Maseches Beitza deals with all of the dinim of Yontif. That's why many Rishayim refer to it as Maseches Yontif. We call it Maseches Beitza because of the first word. In the big Mishnayos, they have a discussion on the first page how one pronounces the name of the Masechta. Because the Magen Avraham has one in one siman in Orach Chaim, Siman Kuf Nun Vav, the Magen Avraham has a long list of miscellaneous dinim that are never quoted in the Shulchan Aruch anywhere. It's like all the Hashmatas, all the dinim in the Gemara that the Shulchan Aruch forgot to quote, and the Magen Avraham has always Girashim in Siman Kuf Nun Vav. So one of the things that he quotes there is that there's a Gemara in Bava Kama where the Gemara draws a contrast between Ammon and Moab, when the Bnei Sloit both had children from their own father. So one daughter named her child Moab, which was Gochutzvah, the child from my father. The other one said Ammon Ben Ami, from the same nation, at least a euphemism. But the one who said Moab was Gora, Alosha Maguna. So the Gemara says that because of that she was punished later on. Later on, the nation of Moab was a little bit suffered more than the nation of Ammon because of the fact that she used the Lashon Neguna. So the Magen Avraham and Kuf Nun Vav quotes the Maharshal and the Yam Shel Shlomo and that Gemara Bava Kama Daf Lamed Ches that you should always be careful not to use a Lashon Neguna, you should speak a Lashon Nekiya, and therefore we don't call it Beitza, we call it Beyah. Or when the Gemara talks about Beitzim, we always pronounce it Beyim. Why?
What's the
Lashon Neguna? What's the difference? Because Beitzim, Beitza has the connotation of a Beitza of a Zohar, the Eber of a Zohar. Masheni Ken Beyim is not. So the Achrayim, many Achrayim disagree. On the first daf in the Mishnayis, on Beitza, they quote that the Vilna Goyen used to pronounce it Beitza, and he used to pronounce Beitzim, whenever the Gemara quotes Beitzim, Rav Soloveitchik also, never pronounced it Bey, he always pronounced it Beitza and Beitza. And they quote many Achrayim, many Achrayim disagree with this holding, but that's where it comes from. That's why many people call it the Maseches Beyah, because of that Magen Avraham, the Shem HaMaharshal in Bava Kama, that's considered a Lashon Megunah. Same thing. In Aramaic, yeah. So that's what they ask. Why does this have more of a negative connotation than that? The same meaning and the same connotation and the same thing. They don't understand why. So the Teferis Yisrael in his Hakadomah quotes this whole discussion, and then he says maybe it's Goren and Gansen and on the different reason why, because the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Hei tells a whole story that once there was in the days of the Tanoim, once there was a student of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi was giving a shiur for the Balabatim, and he said that there's a din that may Beitzim Arein Machshirim. It says in the Chumash that in order for Oichel to be Mekabel Tumah, you have to rinse it off with water or with one of the Zayin Mashkim, one of the seven Mashkim. What if you don't rinse it off with water or one of the Zayin Mashkim, you kneaded flour instead of kneading the flour with water, you kneaded the flour with Mei Beitzim. So the Allah has Mei Beitzim, eggs, if you crack open eggs and you mix it in with the flour and you never touch it anywhere, our flour is already bleached, it's all washed already, so it's already Hukshul Kabbal Tum. That if you would have flour that's dirty, that was never washed off, it was never bleached, so it's a dain lahuch shel kabbalton. So if you mix in mei beitzim, so mei beitzim is not from the zayin mashkim, so it's not mach shel kabbalton. So the way he pronounced it, mei beitzim at this, so the balabatim thought that he said mei bitzoyim. So they thought bitza is a puddle of water, a blotter. So they thought that he meant if you have water from a puddle and you mix it into oichlim, it's not machshel v'kabbatumah, and it caused a big michshel because the din is not true. That's regular water. It's a little bit dirty, but it's regular water. So the Teferis Yisrael says maybe that's the reason why we avoid pronouncing it. Why there was a meaning not to pronounce it beitza, because of the mispronunciation of beitzim and bitzoyim, because of the confusion. So a michshel came out. And maybe that's the reason why, but that's not what the Marshal says. That's not the Magen Avraham quotes in the name of the Marshal differently, because somehow it has the connotation of Beitza Zohar more so than the word Beyim. So that's what the Achrayim say. They don't understand.
The time of the Marshal, when he used to curse somebody out to say Metetzit Kappen. That's what he used to say. Say Yiddish. Say Metetzit Kappen.
So that had that connotation. Yeah. They didn't say it in Aramaic. Okay.
Maybe Beitzim is a mashkin or a
May beitzim is an oichel. That's stuck on the next daf. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
It's a liquidy thing. No, even if it would have been a mashka, let's say orange juice or apple cider is also not a mashka. It's not mashka l'kabutum. All may peiris are not mashka l'kabutum. It happens that a raw egg is a maichel. That's stuck on the next daf. So it's bechlal not a mashka. It's not even a mashka at all. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's how to pronounce the name of the mesichta. That's before you begin. Okay. So when you begin the mesichta, so right away the first mishnah presents triple machlokes between Beisham and Beisil. There were hundreds and hundreds of machlokes in between Beisham and Beisil. In most of the cases, the Beisham were machma and the Beisil were mekel. And there are mishnayos and adiyos. There's one or two prokem and adiyos where the mishnayos list off the exceptions to the rule, where the Beisham were the mekel and the Beisil were the machma. Of all of those cases where there were disputes and the Beisham were the mekel and the Beisil were the machma, three of the cases had to do with Hilchas Yontas. So those are the three that are put together in this mission. That's Atzara Shabbat. That's what they all have in common. There are three cases where there's a dispute between the Beishama and the Beisilo, and the Beisilo was Lechumra and the Beishama was Lekula in the area of Hilchas Yontas. So the first one is not explained. The Mishnah makes a statement. If a hen lays an egg on Yontas, the Beishama say, no problem, you can eat it. Regular food, like any other egg. Like eggs that were purchased on Erev Yontif. Beisil say you're not allowed to eat it, and no reason is given. So that's why the Gemara is going to have a four-way machlokes. Gemara is going to have a four different reasons why it should be us. That's what we're going to be spending a lot of time on. That. That's the opening soon. Then the second dispute is a machlokes in Hilchas Bal Yerah by Matzah. The din is that one is not permitted to eat chametz bePesach. One is not even permitted to possess the chametz in his ownership. You're not allowed to own chametz. You have to either destroy it or sell it to a guy. You're not allowed to own chametz on Pesach. So the Gemara explains, with respect to the Isra of eating chametz, and there are two prohibitions, there are two things that are chametz. There's chametz and there's sa'or. Chametz means if you have flour from the chameshes, meaning dogon, either wheat, barley, oats, rye, or spelt, has to be grain. If you have any other potato starch and you mix it with water and it rises, rice, anything else, that you make into flour and it rises and you bake cakes or whatever, is not called chametz. Chametz is only the chameshes mini dogon, which you mix with water. If you mix with meiperis, also the Gemara says does become chametz. So if you mix it with water and it's edible, it's roi l'achila, then it's chametz. If it sits long enough. If it doesn't sit long enough, so it's matzah. If you bake it fast enough, then it's matzah. But if you let it sit sufficient amount of time, and the Mishnayos discuss how long in Pesachim, so then it becomes chametz. So kolzman that it's edible is chametz. What if you have raw dough? Today, when we want to mix flour with water, and you want to make bread, right, and you want to make cakes, so you want it to rise. So in order to hasten the process, we use Fleischmann's yeast. You throw in the yeast, and it rises fast. If you don't have yeast, so you can wait the whole day till it's going to rise, till the yeast will come from the air. So it'll take a long time. So Bizman HaTanoim, they didn't have packages of dry yeast. So they used to have the wet yeast. They would have a bar, like you can buy from the store now also. You can buy a bar of yeast. So they had, let's say, flour and water. They mixed flour and water, and they let it sit taka for 2 days till it would rise. And then they would bake all of it, and they would leave over some of it. So that little thing, that little bit of yeast that they left over, still has the live microorganisms in it. Yes, they still keep on. It has billions and billions and billions of tiny little yeast, tiny little microorganisms, and keeps on reproducing. So if you say that once you bake it, so that all the microorganisms die, so it's not going to be able to serve as a lechametz isis acheres. It won't be able to serve as a catalyst to hasten. If I take a piece of bread and if I mix flour and water and I put in a piece of bread or I pour in a little schnapps, that's not going to help the demon my lahafens. You have to have raw yeast. So if you have this raw yeast, let's say the balabasta bakes challahs on Thursday night, lekovet Shabbos, and she bakes everything, but she leaves over a little yeast, and then she saves it for next week. So by the time it comes next week, that yeast is so full of microorganisms, there's nothing left to eat. It's so bitter, it tastes awful, it's not roi l'achilas adam. So if it's not roi l'achilas adam, if you have any tray for food in Kol HaTarakula, that's not roi l'achilas adam, so the din is that it's mutter. So the pasuk says in Chumash, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Zayin, Daf Samach Ches, learns that from a pasuk. It says if you have a nevela, so you're not permitted to eat it. Let's talk about nevela. What should you do with nevela? Lagera shavu sharecha titnei nevachola Omochel anochi. He give it to a goy, sell it to a goy, give it to a goy. So the Gemara learns off in the pasuk, nevela, haruy la ger, krui nevela. A ger means not a ger tzedek. A ger tzedek is a yid. He's not allowed to eat nevela either. It means a ger toshav. It means a goy who lives in Eretz Yisrael. So he's not mechuyev to keep kosher. So the pasuk says, give the nevela, give the non-kosher meat to a goy, or sell it to a goy. Either give it or sell it to a goy. So the Gemara learns that only such nevela is treif if it's fit for human consumption. Nevela haruya lager, kruya nevela. If the nevela is not ruya lager, I left a piece of flesh that's treif. I have ham and I left it out of the refrigerator for a month, and it's spoiled, absolutely awful. It's spoiled. So then the Gemara says minatera it's mutar. Minatera you're permitted to eat it because it can't have an isa macholas asur. So this by definition it's not a maichol. Eyes roy la maichol behema, the dogs will eat it. But we're talking maichol adam. In order to have an isa macholas asur, it has to be roy la maichol adam. So the one and only exception to the rule is over here by chomet, because the pasuk says you're not allowed to eat sor. Not allowed to eat sor. So the Gemara is going to quote a Tosefta and Beita that says that Tzor, if you leave over the raw dough from last week to this week, or you go to the store and you buy a bar of raw dough, that's not Roy Lachila. It's not Roy. Some Rishonim say it's not even Roy Lachila Sakela. And nonetheless, the Torah says that it's also Bachila. So why is that? So the Tosefta explains, Yistachapela, how can it be there's not Roy? So the answer is, no, but it's Roy Lachamiz Ba'isa Sachera. Since it can serve as an ingredient, if you'll mix flour with water and you throw this in, this will blend in and this will be able to serve as an ingredient to make everything into bread, to cause all of the dough to rise, so that retains the shei meichel. We have, and that's takadina kol atar kulo. So let's say you have Crisco. Let's say you have tray for Crisco. So you're not allowed to use tray for Crisco. You have to use kosher. What do you have to use kosher? Crisco. Which meshugana would ever eat Crisco? Not Roy Lachilo Sodom. You have a lot of ingredients that they put in factories. They put these into food. That's mamish like wax. They have a big barrel full of an ingredient, whatever, some kind of a glyceride, chazos. Chazashmaltz, mamish straight, 100% chazashmaltz. But it's like wax. The behemoth wouldn't eat it either. So the answer is no. That's treif. That's not called nifsam achilo sodom. It's not called nifsam achilo sodom. Because that's the way they prepare it. That's an ingredient. And you mix it in and everything will taste gishmak. After acharik echlos akol, it'll be very gishmak. So whenever it's roi lachamitz ba'isa sacheris, whenever it's an ingredient, it's not normally eaten bishnayatzma. Whatever its purpose is, that it's oimid lakach, to serve as an ingredient, to make something else, to be misak in some other maichal achila, so then it does retain the shemach. So that's the din in the chumash, that there are two kinds of chometz that you're not allowed to eat on Pesach. There's chometz and there's sa'or. The chometz means bread, cake, cookies, schnapps, whatever. And that's only if it's roi l'achila. If it's not roi l'achila, it's mutter. And then you have sa'or, means even if it's nifsal mi'achila, but since it's roi l'chametz ba'isas acherois, so it retains the shame oichel. So as far as achila,
you learn out from soul for other things also.
Yeah.
So the soul is like the, you know, for all of those type of.
Yeah. How do I know that you learn out? Rab Chaim Moshe writes that in his Tshuvas. How do you know that you learn out? Maybe it's achila only by Pesach. Who says that you learn out? Because the Gemara has in many places a famous din in Mishnayos and Braises. You have soor shel truma. Kohanim are allowed to eat truma, but non-Kohanim are not allowed to. So if you have wine that's truma, or bread that's truma, cake or cookies, whatever is truma, is considered treif as far as non-Kohanim are concerned. So if you have sor shel truma, let's say somebody gave the kohen grain, he gave him a sack for 10 pounds full of grain, truma. So what is the kohen going to do with the grain? He grinds it up and he makes flour and he bakes bread, cake and cookies and the challah. So the cookies is truma. So what if he mixes the flour with water and he leaves some of it over to save it for next week? So it turns into sour, becomes so bitter because the microorganisms keep on reproducing so much till you have billions and billions of microorganisms. They already ate up all of the grain. There's nothing left. So that's only sor, it's not roi l'achila. And nonetheless, the Mishnayos talk about that. The Brice is all over Shas, and Pesachim, and in Avodah Zarah, and in Tmura, all over the place. Sor shel truma, shenaf lo l'tachis, shel chulin, so makes everything also b'achila to a non-kohen. Why does it make asa b'achila? If it's only a special zeres hakasa by chametz, Rav Chaim Eisen says, you see from the Gemara is, the Gemara never even points it out. The Gemara takes it for granted like that. So you see that the Tanoim understood that you learn out from the Pasuk of Sor to Kol HaTorah Kula, that whenever the thing per se, it's nifsa m'achila sovi. It's not shaykh to eat it. But it's such a thing that's going, it's roi l'chametz, isis acheres, it serves as an ingredient to make other foods tasty. So then it retains the shei machol, not only by chametz, it's a din on all machol as asuras. Yeah, machmetz means to be machmetz others, that's what some say, yeah, right.
The definition of seor is yeast. Seor is yeast.
Mm-hmm.
Make us how.
So the kind of yeast that we have in the store, the dry package of yeast,
not the same.
That's not chometzik. That's a microorganism. The tiny little particles, the package of yeast, that you can keep in your house. You don't have to sell that with the chometz, but the bar of yeast, like a bar of margarine or a bar of butter, so they sell in the store a bar of yeast, so that's chometz, because that started off, that was grain mixed with water, and the microorganisms kept on eating and eating and eating it up and multiplying themselves, and now it's sour. It started off as chametz, then it became so much, so many microorganisms, it became this and achila, but you can use it to make, as a catalyst, to make the next batch of dough rise. So that's exactly what the Torah speaks about sour.
What yeast did you say was chametz? Because I didn't understand.
Package of Fleischmann's dry yeast, it's called. The thin package that you shake and you hear it shaking inside. So those are tiny little microorganisms. So that's not chametz, those are microorganisms. The only yeast that's chametzic that you have to sell with the chametz is the bar of yeast. Because that.
What's the difference between the two? Is it the same thing?
No, one started off as chametz. It had flour from the chametz meat, and Dogen had wheat.
And the flash attack, what else
about the brewery?
No, that's microorganisms.
Oh, right away.
Made where? Made from beer.
No, the grain.
Ah, it's made from grain. Oh, and the packet of the dry yeast, that doesn't come from grain. They isolated the yeast. Yeah. So the Torah has two dinim of chametz. There's one that you're not permitted to eat chametz on Pesach. And there's another that even if you're not going to eat the chametz, you're not permitted to have chametz in your possession. You're not allowed to own chametz. So the isa that you're not allowed to eat chametz is an isa like macholat asur. It's like you're not allowed to eat chazer all year long. You're not allowed to eat basa b'cholav. You're not allowed to eat orlaw. The pears that grow the first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat kloyakerim, a whole list of macholat asurahs that you're not allowed to eat. So the shear from macholat asurahs and kolat harkul is kezayis. That is no dispute. So Pesach is no different. It doesn't matter whether you're eating chametz or you're eating sor. The shear is, if some shugana wants to eat the dry yeast, who wants to eat it? So the Torah says you're not allowed to eat it, even though it's nifsim achilas hakelev. The rabbi writes that the sor is nifsim achilas hakelev. But still, that's the din chumash. If you eat it, so you write around a lav and you chayv kores. And the shear is kazais. The Tanoim had a machlokes b'sham and b'silo, not regarding the isra achila of sor. They had a machlokes regarding the din of bal yiro b'imotze. You're not permitted to possess chometz in your ownership on Pesach. So that also has a shear. If you just have a mashul, you're not over on there. Every yisa has to have a shear. So what's the shear in order to violate by yirah by matzeh? So that's the machlokes. So regarding chometz, regarding sa'or, what do they say? Regarding sa'or, they all agree that the shear is kazayis. Regarding chometz, so Beishamai Amekel, that if you have a little cookie that's only the size of a kazayis, you're not yet Oivan Bal Yiro by Matzah. You have to have bigger than that. You have to have a kosevis. Kosevis is the size of a date. A Yom Kippur is a shear like that. A Yom Kippur is kosevis hagasa, a big size date. Here it's not a kosevis hagasa, here it's a normal size date. Different sizes. So the Beishamai hold that the psukim say, let it be written together. It's written separately. In the Parshin Tfilin, so it's a separate Shia, it's a separate Easter. So which is Mochomer? So they understood that Sa'or is probably Mochomer, because the Sa'or is Roy Lachamit by Issa Sacheres. The Sa'or can make other things into Chomet. The Chomet cannot make other things into Chomet. So they said, the violation of Bal Yirah by Matzei, so the Shia Fasor is Kazayis, that's a Chumrah. That's the shear, small size. But in order to violate by Rabbi Matzan, chametz, you have to have a larger size. You have to have kosevis, which is bigger than a kazayis. And we pass it like the basil.
The bag of them.
A bag.
Size should be bigger than
there.
Not each one. You have a bag of this
all together, yeah. But if all together, you have a kazayis.
It doesn't have to be one piece.
It doesn't have to be one piece. It means all together. The Gemara in Pesachim even talks if you have a little in this cabinet, a little in that cabinet, a little in this cabinet, but if you can put it all together, so then you have the shear kazayis, so you have the shear kosevis. The Gemara just has a shaila, what if you have less than a kazayis stuck on the ceiling, less than a kazayis stuck on that ceiling, so who's going to peel it off from the ceiling? So maybe then it's not mitzvah. But if it's in a dish, one is in a dish in the refrigerator upstairs, one is in a dish in the refrigerator downstairs, one is in the cabinet. So then the Gemara says, it's easy to lock it together. So then the Gemara says, it is Mitzaref Yachar. So that's the Machlokes B'Sham and B'Silu. What's the shear? Again, these are the three cases in the area of Inyanim of Yontif. The first is a Shaila. We're not sure what the first is a Shaila. We don't know yet what it is. What's the issue? Why are you not allowed to eat the egg that the hen laid on Yontif? Mar says maybe has something to do with muktzah. We'll have to figure out, well, what does it have to do with muktzah? So the first is the shaila, hen that lays an egg on Yontif, are you allowed to eat it? The second issue is bal yirah by motzei on chametz and sur. And the third shaila is also a Yontif digger shaila maleches Yontif. The third shaila is a shaila maleches Yontif. The din is that on Yontif you're permitted to shecht. We'll have to discuss whether the din is still true b'zman hazeh. Are you still allowed to shecht on Yontif b'zman hazeh? Now that we have refrigeration, if you shecht on Erev Yontif, put it in the freezer, it'll taste just as good, mistoma, as if you shecht it on Yontif. So maybe b'zman hazeh. Not allowed to shecht on Yontif. We'll have to figure out. So, but at least b'zman hatanaim they had no refrigerator, so the din was that you're permitted to shecht on Yontif. So if you shecht a behema on Yontif, so you don't need kisli adam. No problem. But if you shecht chay v'yoyf, the three kinds of animals, this behemoth, this chay v'yoyf, a cow, a calf, a goat, a lamb, that's a behemoth. Behemoth gasa, behemoth daka, but it's all behemoth. If you shecht a deer, so that's a chaya, and if you shecht a chicken or a turkey, so that's a knife. So if you shecht chickens, turkeys, a deer, the Torah requires a mitzvah of kisi adam. The shofach is nama v'chisoba, offer they do it in the slaughterhouses. They have a big sack of sawdust. And they throw it on the floor. I remember years ago in the butcher shops, they used to have, they used to shecht in the butcher shops. Yeah. I remember when I was a little boy, they used to shecht in the butcher shops. I remember. So they used to have all full of sawdust on the floor, and then they would shecht, and then they would throw sawdust on top. The chisel b'ofer, because the Gemara says that that's one of the cases. The chisel b'ofer, kisi adam, is one of the gimel mekayim shahalacha o keves es hamikra. Even though it says ofer, and ofer means sin. The din says that it doesn't have to be sin. Whatever is zorim bay matzmiach, whatever you can plant something in, and it'll grow. If something will grow, so then it's good. Then it's called the chisel b'ofer. So sawdust also.
Klal
prat. I don't think it's a klal prat. I don't remember the whole Gemara. I don't remember. But the Gemara says that this is a case where the Gemara has lashon halacha. Halacha mosh misiyah. I think halacha o keves as hamikra. The halacha contradicts the pasuk. We don't follow the pasuk, we follow the halacha l'moshe mitzvah. We follow the Torah Shebal Peh when it contradicts the Torah Shebichsav. The Gimel L'Kaimis, the Gemara says, there are three cases where the halacha l'moshe mitzvah contradicts the pasuk. Yeah. So, the Gemara, no, the Gemara has a discussion in Eilu Treifas. How do you determine? I think the Gemara says if it has horns. No, well, what kind of horns? The Gemara says, what kind of horns? The behemoths also have horns, but what kind of horns, whether they're curly or something, I forgot about it. The Gemara gives you the simanim.
One piece or two pieces.
But the Gemara gives you the simanim how to determine whether it's a behemoth or a chayiv. So the discussion over here is like this. If somebody is, you're permitted to do shechita on yantif. Once you do shechita on yantif, then it's chayiv, you have to do kisi adam. Shaila is... But if you didn't prepare the offer in advance, so the offer may be muktzah. So tiltal muktzah is an issue of the Rabbanah. Or, in order to fulfill, that's one issue. So are you allowed to do kisei adam? Are you allowed to violate the mitzvah? Are you allowed to violate the Eastern tiltal muktzah for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah that I said kisei adam? So we'll have to learn the Gemara. Then there's another discussion that's involved over here. The din is he can only perform kisei adam if it's granulated, if it's loose offer. If it's a blotch of offer, a big chunk of offer, then it's no good for kisei adam. So what if it's not? What if you don't have granulated offer and you have to grind it up on Yom Tov? That's a shayla of a malacha of toche. You're not permitted to be toche. So to do techino d'oraisa in order to fulfill a mitzvah kisei adam, that certainly is not permissible. What are you going to say? Esedecha loisa say. In order, the Gemara asks, why don't say Esedecha? The Gemara Pesachim asks, why don't you say Esedecha loisa say? So the answer is that's ridiculous. First he does the Averit, then he does the mitzvah. You only say Esedecha loisa say if it's simultaneous. The Gemara says he can't say Esedecha loisa say because violating Malach on Yontav is Esedecha loisa say. It's not a mitzvah to shech, but once you shech it, then you mechuyev to do kisei adam. So once he shechted already, would you say he's permitted to do kisei adam even in violation of Malachas Yontav? So that's out of the question. For sure not. Not allowed to violate a Malach of Deraisa in order to do kisei adam. The rules and regulations are that's it.
You don't have hot water. If you want to do the meal first, then make up the hot water after this.
So that's going to be, that's very related to this topic. So now the Mishnah discusses like this. Are you... So to do tchina, to grind up the blotch of offer in order to fulfill kisei adam is certainly not permissible. To do tchina deraisa. What if he's going to do tchina kelach yad? What if he'll do the tchina with the left hand? He'll do it some shinui. So it's only the rabbanon. So are you permitted to violate a melacha the rabbanon in order to fulfill the mitzvah deraisa kisei adam? There's going to be a discussion in the gemara. So then the gemara is going to discuss: are you allowed to shecht lechatchila? Knowing in advance that you're going to get involved in a tchia, maybe it means if you fell in already, if you already did shech, so then b'leis brera, if you wait till after Yom Tov, all the dam will dry up, it'll get absorbed in the ground, so you won't be able to fulfill the mitzvah kisei adam. But so then once you've done the shechitas, you have no brera, so then you allow him kulas to do the kisei adam. But do we permit him in advance to be machnas atzmo lematzo shel tchias yisum? So that's going to be a whole leisik yisham and b'sul. We're going to have to learn the whole sugi. And that has to do with your shayla. If you already did a milah on Shabbos, in the days of the Tanoim, they felt that it was a sakana for the baby. If you don't bathe the baby with warm water before the bris and after the bris. Today, they don't bathe the baby not before, not after the bris. But b'zman haTanoim, we have antiseptics now, so we don't need the whole thing. But b'zman haTanoim, that was considered such a sakana, to the extent that if you perform the bris milah on Shabbos, and you realize that you have no warm water, and there's no goy to heat up the water, so the Jew is permitted to heat the water because a malacha derais a bishul, because that's called the suffix sakana for the baby. Bizman azad is not suffix sakana, it says in the Shulchan Aruch. So Bizman azad, the Mechaber writes, Rabbi Yosef Kara writes, he lived in Tzfas in the 1500s. So he says the hygienic conditions are much better than the days of the Gemara. In the 1500s in Tzfas, much better than the days of the Tanoim and Amoraim. And today there's no more suffix sakana, so you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos. Not only not allowed to be mechal Shabbos, they don't wash the baby with hot water. They didn't wash the baby with hot water. So there's no suffix sakana. But the issue is, are you permitted to perform the bris milah on Shabbos knowing in advance that you're going to have to be mechal Shabbos later on? So that's a major discussion that has to do with the third issue in the Mishnah. The mokum where you have what?
Where you have grass growing or flowers or something, or vegetation growing.
And you ripped it out now?
No,
so it's not right.
It's a mokum that's roi. The mokum that's roi, you say you have a field, one part of your field is planted and the other one's empty. And you took the dirt that is well soil, that they've granulated dirt, but it's in a mokum sriya. Would that be a problem burning?
I don't know. The Gemara is going to have a whole discussion on it. That's going to be later. We'll get to that. That we're going to have a long time until we get to that. Okay. No, that's going to take quite a long time. Okay. And then the Mishnah continues. Okay, so we'll leave out. Basically, the Mishnah is quoting the three instances where it's Machleges B'Shama B'Silo, and the B'Shama is Mekel, and the B'Silo is Machme, in the area of Inyana Yontav. These three have to do with Yontav. Good enough. Good enough. And we'll discuss each one separately. So on the first din in the Mishnah, the Beit Shenol de Yontav, that we pass like the Beis Hillel, that if the hen lays an egg on Yontav, you're not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara wants to know, what's going on? What's wrong? What do they have? What do the rabbis have against the Egdapikurs and the Mishamod? Mav used to make fun of the rabbis. What's going on over here? What do they have against it? So the Gemara has four explanations in the Mishnah. The first is Rav Nachman. Omer Rav Nachman, around 10 lines from the bottom. Rav Nachman. Then on the days you have Rabbo. Omar Rabbo, right in the middle of Omar Beis, you have Rabbo. Then a little later you have Rav Yosef. Later on the daf you have Rav Yosef. And then on the next Amud you have Rav Yitzchok. On the third line on the daf you have Rav Yitzchok. So there are four different explanations. The Gemara is going to have a long Arichas Bar and what's the issue there. So the first will go in order. So the first pshat, we're not going to skip. Whatever we leave out now, we're going to get to discuss. Just to figure out where we're leading. We're just trying to see where we're going over here. So the first pshat the Gemara gives is that it's an issue of muktzah. Rav Nachman says the machloikis is about beitzah shenolda b'yontah, beitzah shenolda b'shabbos, beitzah shenolda b'yontah, is an issue of muktzah. What does muktzah mean? So the Gemara says the machloikis b'shamah b'silil is identical with the machloikis Rav Yudah Rav Shimon. There's a machloikis Rav Yudah Rav Shimon, Rav Yudah Leislei, Rav Yudah Rav Yudah Islay Muktzah and Rav Shimon Leislay Muktzah. What does that mean? Rav Shimon denies the whole institution of Muktzah? Doesn't offer Muktzah? No. So let's go slowly. There are different kinds of Muktzah. Let's say we're trained as little children by our parents that you're not allowed to touch a pen or a pencil. Muktzah. So that's not really accurate. That has nothing to do with muktzah. That's called klisha malach talis. That's a different thing. Klisha malach talis, a pen and a pencil is a kli. It's a dovish yesh bo hishtamshus. A klisha malach talis is a separate gzera that you're not allowed to handle it. And the reason for the gzera is gzera shema yotzi, because they may carry it into the street. The chachamim wanted to ask the handling anything. But then you won't be able to eat food, then you won't be able to move a chair, then you won't be able to take off your clothes and put on pajamas and take off the pajamas and put on the clothes. Life would be impossible then. So they wanted to make life a little difficult, but they didn't want to make life impossible. So they said, whatever anyway you don't really need. Food, you have to eat food, plate, chair, table, clothing, pajamas, I mean, this is normal, sorry. Whatever is normal, so they're not going to make exist. But let's say eight in Vavona Biofor, let's say you have some junk around the house, or you have twigs, branches, broken glass, a piece of junk, garbage, basically garbage that has no ishtamshes whatsoever. So what do you need to handle it on Shabbos for? What do you need to handle it? So that, the Chachamim said, if you don't need it anywhere, we're not inconveniencing you, not making life miserable by telling you you're not allowed to, sometimes it will make life a little miserable if it's in the way, so you'll have a problem. But since an abstract theory, it's not really necessary to handle it. So the Chachamim said, we prohibit you from handling muktzah on Shabbos. You're not allowed to be metaltal muktzah. Gzeir Hashem Ayotzi. That's how the Gemara says later. The reason why you're not allowed to move eitzim bavon of the offer, branches that came off of a tree, logs, sand, money. Why is money muktzah? Why is money muktzah? So money is muktzah because al pidin it's considered a piece of junk. Because money, that's the real reason. Money is muktzah because the four categories that are not muktzah is the odd and the kelim, mochlim, and mashlim. The din is that there are four things that are mekabel tumah. The whole wide world, there are four categories of things that are mekabel tumah. Odd and the kelim, ochlim, and mashkim. Whatever is not odd and the kelim, ochlim, and mashkim is considered junk and it's not mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, the Tanoim pattern, the laws of muktzah, partially. Called the Tikkun Rabbanan came the rise of Tikkun. So the Chachamim pattern, the Hilchas Muktzah, a little bit along the lines, not 100%, partially along the lines of Hilchas Kabbalah's Tumah. Whatever is Odin Mikhail Mochel Mamashkim, that's a Dovah Sheesh B'Hashiva, that's why it's in Kabbalah Tumah. So that they're not going to make Exerit that you're not allowed to handle it lest you'll forget and carry that into the street. That's going to make life miserable. Whatever is not Odin Mikhail Mochel Mamashkim, what belongs in that category? Junk. So the halacha considers money, matbeyas, dollar bills, doesn't belong to other mikelim achol mamashkin. It's not a kli, has a lot of use, but it's not a kli. So that's why that's called muktzah machmas gufoy, muktzah machmas atzma. So that everybody agrees to. There's no machlekes Reb Shimon, Reb Yudah on that. Everybody agrees that you're not allowed to handle that.
You don't need it.
Yeah, you don't need it. You don't need it. Yeah. That's another reason why. There are two reasons why money is moksa. So you're giving the second reason, but the more important reason that is basically moksa machmas gufoy. It's like garbage, because it's not odom mekel machum amashkim, so it's moksa machmas gufoy. So whatever is mukta machmas gufoy, there's no heter tiltal at all. You're not allowed to move it even letzarch gufa letzarch mekoyma. Let's say by mistake somebody left money on the table. The mayor of Shabbos, they forgot to set the table, forgot to clear off the money. So you're not allowed to take the money off of the table because tzarach lemekoyma, because you want to eat there. Mm-hmm. Or let's say you want to take a quarter in order to open up a jar. It's a pickle jar or something, and it's very tight, so you want to take a coin to open it up. So letzarach gufoy, there's no heter. The heter is if you have a screwdriver. If you have a screwdriver is usually used to screw in screws. So that's a screwdriver is a kli. That's not a piece of junk. A screwdriver is a kli. A hammer usually used to malacha to bang in nails, which is a malacha abayna makam apatish. So that's a kli shemalachta liyisir. Kli shemalachta liyisir is not mukta kli. The four things that are not mukta are the mekele machum mashkim. So a screwdriver and a hammer, a pen, a pencil is a kli. So that's not mukta mamish, but that's a new gzera, a lesser gzera, the rabbanon, that a klisha malach tali yisr, you don't need it on Shabbos. What do you need it for? It's malach tali yisr, the main purpose is lisa. So they made gzera's tiltal. It's not exactly the same as mukta gzera's tiltal. So on klisha malach tali yisr, there the tanoim have a kula. That if the hammer or the screwdriver is in the way, or you want to use it to open up a jar, either the tzarach guf or the tzarach mekoymai, you're permitted to move it. But on mukta mamish, you don't have such a heta. Let's say I have a frying pan. Or I have a cabinet where I keep all the pots for cooking. So a pot is a kli, but on Shabbos you're not allowed to cook. So it's a kli shemalach delisa. On Yontif, a frying pan or a pot that you cook in is a kli shemalach delaheta. If you want, you can cook on Yontif. So there's no, it's a kli shemalach delaheta. But on Shabbos, a frying pan or a pot, a soup pot, is a kli shemalach delisa. So you're not allowed to move around empty pots. If the pot, how do you serve the soup? If the soup pot is a klish malach talis, how do you serve the soup? So the Rishonim say, the Balamor writes in Shabbos, no. When the pot has soup in it, when the big pot has all the chicken in it, then it's a container. Well, let's say you have a Tupperware. A Tupperware is a klish malach talis. It's a container. It's not a kli that you use for cooking. So the frying pan or the soup pot or the big pan that you bake your chickens in, that you cook your flesh in, sometimes if it has food in it, then it's a klisha malach talaheter, it's a container. But once you empty it all out and there's no more food left, then there's no more container, then I treat it like a klisha malach talaheta. So if you have a frying pan or a cooking pot in the cabinet or on the shelf or whatever, in the way, that's Takan Shabbos, that's a klisha malach taliyah. So you're not allowed to move it around unless it's in the way, unless it's tzarach gufa letzarach mekoyma. That's the same as a screw driver, the same as a hammer, the same as a pen, the same as a pencil. So these are two different isurim. Zagutakash, I don't know. But that's what we assume. That's quoted in the Mogen Avraham. He quotes it from the Bala Mor and Shabbos. Only when it has food in it. When it has food in it, then we label it as a container. When it doesn't have any food in it, then we label it as a klisha malach
kaliyista.
Minute you empty it out, right away it's considered klisha malach kaliyista. So if you don't want to have your kitchen cluttered up, you don't want to have pots all over. So that's called tzarach l'mekoyma. Tzarach l'mekoyma doesn't only mean I want to eat over here and the hammer is in the way. Tzarach l'mekoyma also means it doesn't look nice. Ungestellt, the whole kitchen is going to be, so I want to get rid of the pot, put it away somewhere. So that's also called tzarach l'mekoyma. So so far there's no machlekes hatanoim on anything. So far there's a dinim that are muskan, that there is a gzeira of mukta and there is a gzeira of klisha malach taliyisa. And mukta, you're not allowed to be metaltal if you have anything that's not other mekele mochel mamashkin, basically garbage. And the examples the Gemara always gives is eitzim avon of the offer. You have pebbles, You have, that's the issue that they all talk about in Eretz Yisrael. Those kanoim who like to throw stones at the cars. The stones are mukta. The stones are mukta. Unless you mazmin it in a din. When you make a bris, let's say, when you make a bris on Shabbos, it is a minig from the days of the Gaonim, early from the Zohar, to be matmin the orlo, the little bit of skin that the moil cuts off, so the minig is from the Zohar. It says on the pasuk in Baluk, mi mono afar yankiv. So based on that pasuk, the Zohar says that the minig is to put the orlo, the or orlo, the little skin, to be matmin it ba'ofer. So the shad is, what if you have a bris on Shabbos and yankiv? The offer is a box of sin. So sand is the chmukta on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Eitz ma'avonu yofer. Mamish literally offer. So how do, what do you do with this minig? So the mechaber writes in Yeridei and in Hilchos Shabbos and Arachayim, if you mazmin it in advance, then you're allowed to handle it. We'll have to learn why. We'll have to learn taka later. What's the nature of that din? Taka discussion here in base. So here also, let's say if some Meshuggah, for some reason or another, decides he wants to throw stones, he wants to play a game with stones. So the stones are Muktzah, so if he's Mazman, the stones in advance, before Shabbos begins, for that Hishtamshus, he's going to play marbles with the stones or something. So despite the fact that it's Muktzah, if you're Mazman in advance, so then you have a Hetzah to be Metaltal. Same thing. Yeah. Same thing. Right. You have to be right. The Gemara says on Yontif, if you want to do a Kisei Adam, you have to be Mazmin the offer in advance. Otherwise, the offer will be Muktza. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Shabbos also. Putting in a barrel of sand, you want to cover up in case there's some
dirt.
You can be Mazmin.
The days of the Tanakh, when they had some dirt in the house, they would throw offer on top of it. So the Gemara says you have to be Mazmin a sack of offer in advance before Shabbos, a sack of sawdust or something.
But our case about the pot. Which you cook, which
you
container, you emptied it
out. Why is that part automatically mutter? You mazmin, you use it. Not mutter. You put things back into that part. Why is that having a mukta automatically in the middle of Shabbos? It does become mukta. It becomes a klisha malachta. Right. That's a good kasha. But you can use it again as a container. So who tells you that it's a cooking pot? Who tells you it's a frying pan for cooking, frying? And it's a klisha malachta. So call it a container.
Not going to put it in when it's dirty.
I don't know. It's a kasha. I don't know. But that's the din in Shulchan Aruch. Pot that you usually cook in, Tupperware, is always a container. Whether it has food in it, does not have food. A Tupperware is a container, so a container is a klish malach talahed. But if you have a pot that you cook in, or
you can microwave
it. Something like that. So then when it has food in it, then I label it as a container, and I call it a klish malach talahed. And when the food is out of it, then I say it's a klish malach talahed. So because you can cook.
Off the blessing, yeah, so you have on Friday night.
Right.
Empty. What do you
think
with the pot?
So if the pot is in the way and it doesn't look nice, if the pot is in the way and it doesn't look nice in the kitchen or in the dining room with the pot, that's called Tzorachlim Komo. So the washing the pot, if you plan to use it on Shabbos, or you don't plan to use it on Shabbos. If you're afraid you're going to get bugs on Shabbos, then you're permitted to wash the pot on Shabbos. But if you're not afraid of bugs on Shabbos, you just want to wash it, so then it's an issue of hachana. So then you're not permitted to wash. The Mishnah says in Shabbos, you're not allowed to wash dishes on Shabbos that you clearly don't plan to use on Shabbos. You're allowed to wash things that you may need them on Shabbos. You don't know. You may or may not. Guests may come. But if it's a vadoyis that you're not going to have, let's say Friday night we had 100 guests. And Shabbos morning we're just going to have the family. So we're not going to use all 100 sets of all the dishes. So the Gemara says you're not allowed to wash all of that. You're not going to expect to have 100 people uninvited on Shabbos morning. But whatever you think you may need on Shabbos, if that's not a Nisar Achana. So everybody's masking that you have two categories of halacha. You're not permitted to handle muktzeh. means Eitz Mavonu Yofer, something that's not Odin Mikhaila Mochel Mamashkin, basically junk. Everybody's masking to that there's a din of Muktzah. And you're not allowed to handle Muktzah, even if it's Lutzorah, Gufa Lutzorah Mekoyma. And the reason why you're not allowed to handle Muktzah is Gzeir Shema Yotzi. We're afraid that if you'll permit him to carry it in the house, he may forget and carry it out into the street. That's the Gemara later in Beit, that's the Gemara in Shabbos, like that, we'll get to that. That's the reason for it. And you're not allowed to, that's one din. Then everybody agrees that there's another din, you're not allowed to handle a screwdriver or a pen or a pencil or a hammer. That's not muktzah, that's a different din, that's a din of klisha malach tali yisr. And everybody, halacha l'maaseh, everybody agrees, in the tanoim and amoraim there's a discussion, but bottom line, everybody agrees if you have a hammer or a screwdriver or a pen or a pencil and it's in the way, so the tzar gufa l'tzar chum, you're allowed to move it. You want to use, if you want to use the coin to open up a jar, you're not allowed to, because the coin is mukta mamish and the tzar gufa is asa. But if you want to use a screwdriver to open up a jar, then you may. You want to use a hammer to open up a jar, and you may, because the screwdriver and the hammer is not mukta mamish, it's only klisha malach t'lisa. So that there never was a machloikis hatan oimar. But there is a machloikis, whether you hold from mukta or not. What, it's in details. In the details of mukta, there's a machloikis Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. What's the machloikis? The original case of mukta is the following. Let's say we have a set of Pesach conditions that we put away, we keep all year long. Let's say Rosh Hashanah Echreks, we hear that we won the sweepstakes. And my wife decides she's going to buy new golden Pesach edition. No more of the old china, golden Pesach. So what are we going to do with the old Pesach edition? She's going to use it for Shabbos and Yom Tov, not for Pesach. So in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, middle of Shabbos, let's say, middle of Shabbos, in the middle of a Yom Tov, she decides the Pesach edition that we have upstairs, that we always leave away, we're not going to use them for Pesach, we're going to make them chametz. So that's the original Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda holds that that's Muktzah. The Pesach Degedishes are Muktzah because you put it away not to use it. Let's say we're going to have a birthday party on Sunday afternoon for the baby, for one of the children. We have ice cream in the freezer, and we clearly didn't have in mind to eat the ice cream in the freezer on Shabbos, even by Shalosh Shudas, but we're going to have milchitz, not going to eat the ice cream. This ice cream is Muzman for the birthday party. Middle of Shabbos, we decide we're going to eat this for Shalosh Shudas, we're going to have different ice cream for tomorrow. So that ice cream is a machloikis hatanoim. That's called muktzah. And Reb Shimon holds us, no, that's not muktzah. That's the machloikis of your Reb Shimon. Oichlin and Kalim. Oichlin and Kalim. So the Gemara has the marshal the following case. A man has a store which is right next to his house. He has a grocery store. And he has all kinds of nasha, right? All kinds of food in the store. So all the food that he eats for the family, he takes in his apartment. And all of the food in the store is aymed l'schayra. That is going to sell. So the Gemara has, if you have tamrei le'iska, you have tamarim date that are packaged in the store and has the price on it, and you don't plan to eat that yourself, that's clear that you plan to sell it to the customer. You don't get any customers, so you eat it yourself. But the way it looks like it's aymed to be sold, not aymed to be eaten. Or let's say you have chitim le'oitzar, the Gemara has tamri le'iska, a chitim le'oitzar, I have flour in the house that I'm going to use. If I run out of flour, I can always go to the Erev on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, you don't really need the Erev, I can always go if I want and take it. So, but if the umdin in the muchach is that these sacks of grain, this chitim, lo'oitzar, is not oimed to be eaten on Shabbos. So that's the machlech, the Rebbe Reb Shimon. So Reb Yehuda holds that would be muktzah, and Reb Shimon holds that it's not muktzah. That's the machlech in Satanah. How's that different from? If the thing is not one of the four, not all of became a mochel mamashkin, then everybody's maskim that it's muktzah. Now there's a machlekes Rabbi Reb Shimon within ochlin and kalim, within ochlin mamashkin and kalim. Whatever food or kalim I have around the house, I don't have to have explicit kavona to eat it. Let's say you have some licorice in the cabinet, and we rarely eat the licorice. So the kids decide to eat it on Shabbos. Or you have some chocolates, whoever eats the chocolate. So whatever is in the house, and it's an umdir in the muchach in the beginning of Shabbos, you have all kinds of dishes and everything. We don't use it so often. All of a sudden a guest comes on Shabbos afternoon, we're going to pull out some dish that we never use. So that's not muktzah. Nobody holds that's muktzah. Whatever oichlim and kalim are in the house, and the yom that in the muchach is that we may. If anybody would ask the balabos on Erev Shabbos, do you think he may eat it or use it? So you say maybe. He may use it. If you ask him, do you plan to eat the ice cream in the freezer for the birthday party? He says no. That's for the birthday party. Do you plan to use the Pesach of the condition? No. So that's a machloikis. But if it's something that maybe, so then everybody agrees that that's not muktzah. But if it's clear that you don't plan to use it, that's a machloikis hatanoim. So what is the machloikis hatanoim? So what is the machlekes of Yud Reb Shimon? So the She'iltes has a fascinating comment that Rav Soloveitchik expanded on, and he explained what's going on. This muktzah is very obscure. What is muktzah all about is very obscure. This is the first thing that made the Chazon Ish famous. And the Chazon Ish in Europe first published his sefer on Shabbos, on muktzah. He worked very hard and he came up with a whole pshat which does not correspond, living and dead, to what Rav Soloveitchik said. Totally different. But this is what he became famous for, his interpretation of muktzah. So Rav Soloveitchik got a different pshat based on a she'ilta. So there is a, I'll give you the background. There is a Gemara later. Chav Vav Amid Bey, 6 lines from the bottom. Omer Rav Kahana. Dav Chav Vav Amid Bey, 6 lines from the bottom. Omer Rav Kahana. Mukta Sheyovish. They used to put up fruits on the roof in the summertime in order to dry you off, so they made raisins out of it. Groglis, it's a mukim, dried out fruit. So when you have fruits that are fresh fruits, that's not mukta, people can eat fresh fruits. When you have raisins in the house, that's roi l'achil, it's edible. What if you put the fruit on the roof and then it takes a while till it dries out? So it'll reach a point when it dries out that nobody would want to eat it. It's not a fresh fruit that's juicy and tasty, and it's not yet a raisin. Later stage will be, it'll reach a point that it'll be more dried out. The Gemara has, how does the Gemara say? 3 lines from the bottom. It's achazu v'loy achazu. It's roi ve'inu roi. Some people, the achli, some people would eat it in this state of semi-dried out, half dry, half not dry. And other people will not eat it. So it's a borderline food. Food haste if it's roi l'achila. If you have a food that some people say it's edible, and other people will never eat this stuff, doesn't taste good at all. Doesn't taste good at all. So then all the Tanaim will agree that the status of such food at the beginning of Shabbos has to be determined by the bialim. If the owner belongs to that group of people who say this, I consider this edible. Huh?
Subjective.
Subjective. So if he holds that this is roi l'achila, he would eat it, then it's not muktzah. And if the owner holds that that's not roi l'achila, it doesn't help that on Shabbos afternoon some guest comes and he likes to eat it like that. If the owner holds that it's not roi l'achila in the beginning of Shabbos, so then it's like eitz ma'avon yofa, then it's called junk. It doesn't belong in the category of oichel. And the Gemara in Shabbos has the same by kelim. Oichelim and kelim, the same thing by kelim. Let's say the Gemara has, let's say like this. You wear the socks and you develop a hole in the socks. So by the poor people, they'll knit
on it.
They'll sew the socks. By other people, they'll throw out the socks. The underwear gets a hole. So by the Gvirim, they throw it out. They're not going to bother to darn the socks or fix the hole. And by the poor people, they're not going to throw it out. So the Gemara says, is such a shmata, is such a thing. The Gemara, of course, talks about matlonius, shmatas.
3x3.
The Gemara doesn't talk about the holes in the sack. The Gemara has matlonius that have less than gimel or gimel. So the Gemara says, the base of shalaniyim, it has a din of a beggar. They're not going to throw it out. They're going to use it. The base of shalashim, they're going to throw it out in the garbage. Aye, but chazi la'ani, it doesn't matter. It's a borderline kli. Ikin shi, there are some people who hold that it's a kli. There's some people that don't hold it to clean, depending on their status in society, how stingy they are, or how much they can afford, whatever. So that's determined by the bialim. If the owner holds that this is a kli, then it's not mukta. As far as the owner is concerned, it's not a kli. He plans to throw it in the garbage, then it's not a kli. So that everybody's masking that it depends on the bialim. If you have a borderline food, or you have a borderline kli, which is ikinshi da achli, ikinshi da loy achli, then the Gemara says, if he plans to eat it on Shabbos, he holds that this is a kli and this is an oichel, then it's not muktzah. And if the bialim holds that it's not a kli, it's not an oichel, then it's going to be muktzah. When is there a machlekes of Yud Reb Shimon? It's Pesach, the dishes are perfect dishes, nothing wrong with them. You use them on Pesach. all year long is perfect, and then the ice cream in the freezer for the birthday party is perfect food. But it's clear that there's no hachanas habaylim. The baylim does not plan, the fairest does not plan to use it on Shabbos. If he lets the balabosta ben ashmashes, do you think he may want to eat the ice cream on Shabbos? Of course not. Do you plan to use the Pesach tradition? Of course not. So that's the machlekes of Yud Reb Shimon. Do you require hachanas habaylim for oichlim and kelim or not? And the source for this idea that that's the nekudas hamachlekes of Yud Reb Shimon is this Gemara Rav Kana that we started with. We didn't finish. And Chavav on the days, about six lines from the bottom. So it's mukta sheyove. Mukta means they put the fruits on the roof in order to dry out in the summertime, in order to convert to become raisins. So that's called the mukta sheyove. It dried out already. The ein habaylam akirim boy. An erev Shabbos, the baylam put it up on Thursday, on Wednesday, and they thought it's going to take a week. They thought next Wednesday it'll be ready. When it came Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmosh, they didn't realize that it's already all dried out, it's edible, they can already eat it now. So they thought next Shabbos it'll be ready. Then Shabbos morning they walk up to the roof and they say, hey, it's already delicious and it's already so dry, it's clear. It's clear that Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmosh is also edible. But they didn't know about it at that time. They didn't know. So he says mutar. Rav Kana says that it is not mukta. So when the Shultz quotes this member of Rav Kana, he says that's the din. Rav Kana says no one disagrees. He says not exactly so, no one disagrees. And he introduces you to Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon. He says it's muta because we pashu like Rav Shimon. It's clear from the Shultz that if you all like Rav Yehuda, it would be mukta. Why? What's the issue here? Why would Rav Yehuda say that it's mukta? Because that's exactly the nekudas hamachlekes between Rav Yehuda and Shimon. Rav Yehuda says that oichlim gemurim, the ice cream in the freezer and kelim gemurim, the Pesach the Gedishas, don't have achanas habaylim, so you're not allowed to eat. So here also, if the balabusta didn't know that the raisins are edible, the tchilos hayoyim, even our libidemis, they are edible, and if she would have known, she would have, but she didn't know.
That's the difference between that and the fish. That's the difference between that and the ice cream. Here, the woman knows that she would have made a condition. Had I known that they would have been ready, I would have eaten them. Coming into Erev Rosh Hashanah, they know they're not going to, she goes to win the lottery until 11 o'clock that night. She won't know that they would have assumed that they would have been delicious. That's the difference in the fish.
So we don't, even though there is a difference, we don't distinguish. The difference is irrelevant. There are many differences. Can always be mechalak in everything. So that difference is irrelevant. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the ice cream is mukta, the Pesach Digger dishes are mukta, and the raisins that are ready are ready, but you didn't know about it yet, so it's also going to be mukta. That's how the Shiltas presents it. You say you can draw a distinction and say that the Shiltas is wrong. One can say Rav Kana's din is true, even I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. That's a good point what you said, but the Shiltas says not so. Shiltas presents it as if Rav Kana's din is dependent on Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon. But we pass from like Rav Shimon, if you all like Rav Shimon, so Rav Shimon says the Pesach the Gedishas with the ice cream in the freezer, you don't need Hachanas Habaylim. There is no Hachanas Habaylim. So who had the Nami over here? You don't need Hachanas Habaylim as long as the thing is Oichel, as long as the thing is a clean. So it's not good. So here, the Gemara starts off getting back again. So the Gemara says, there were four explanations as to why Basilo say you're not allowed to eat the egg that the hen lays on Yom Tov. What's wrong? The hen lays an egg. But if you have eggs from Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov, there's no problem. So Manishtana, what's wrong if the hen lays egg? The hen did a malacha. If you have a goy, you did a malacha on Yom Tov, so you're not allowed to get on off in the malacha of the goy. The goy plucked off the apples from the tree, so there's a Gemara later. You're not allowed. He did it for me, so I'm not allowed to eat the apples. But it didn't. No one did anything. But the hen didn't do any avera, a natural process. So why are you not permitted to eat the eggs that the hen lays on Yom Tov? So the Gemara has four explanations. So the first is Rav Nachman. He says it's clearly an issue of muktzah. What's for a muktzah? Then muktzah. So the Gemara says it's like this.
A new thing.
When is it a new thing? So the Gemara explains like this. So the Gemara explains like this. There are two kinds of chickens. If you have a hen that you plan to shecht that hen one of these days, just wait another couple of days and you shecht it. So you're allowed to shecht the hen on Yom Tov also. Yom Tov you're allowed to shecht. So that hen has a status of oichel. It's not oichel. It's not mekabel tumah while it's alive. That's gemaris. That's mishnayis like that. A live animal is not mekabel tumah. But for purposes of mukta, we say it does. For it's not 100%. We said the Gemara in Shabbos says that the pattern many of the dinim of mukta after kol the tikkun rabbanon came the rice tikkun. You have to try to pattern all the dinim of the rabbanon after some patterns the rice. So the dinim of mukta were patterned partially, not 100%. Most of the dinim of mukta are patterned after some of the dinim of kabbalah's tumah. But it's not 100%. This is one of the discrepancies. A live animal is not makabal tumi. You don't call it oichel, even though you plan to shecht it and to eat it. And it's a weekday, and of course you can shecht it and eat it. But the live animal is not makabal tumi. But if you're here for purposes of mukta, we say, if the tanegolus is omedes lachilo, the behemoth, whatever, is omed lachilo, so it already, even before you shecht it, it already has a shame Michael. It already has a shame Michael. If the Tanigurvis is not a Medes Lachila, let's say they have egg farms where they have hens, hundreds of hens, and they keep on laying eggs. They don't want to shecht those hens. This is the whole panos. The hens keep on laying eggs. When the hens will be over buckle already, they won't be laying any more eggs. So then they'll shecht the hens also. Then they'll finish up the business. The Kozman, the hens are still laying eggs, so the Bidafkid do not plan to shecht it. So if the Tanigurvis Hamedes Legadal baits him, then I don't label the Tanigurlis as a Michael. I label the Tanigurlis as a machine, a contraption, producer. It produces eggs. Sure. So if it's, the Gemara has like this, if it's a Tanigurlis, Hamedes, La'achilo, so the head itself has a Shem Michael, so if the head lays an egg, so it's a Michael that comes out from a Michael, so there's no issue of Mukhtar. Why? Marshal about the dummer. But this is a different Michael from that Michael. This was a Michael, this was a hen. If you shecht it, you'll have fleshik. And now it's a Michael that's parashah. The Gemara says that's neither here nor there. It doesn't make a difference. That's like you take a big challah and then make a slice of challah. So you're going to say muktzeh because for the beginning of Yantah was a ganze challah and now it's a slice of a challah. So you're going to say it's a nayazach and this oichel. No. The Gemara calls that uchlo de ifras. That's an oichel. I took a big meichel, I took a big chicken, and I cut off a little piece. That's not muktzah. This is part of the big oichel. So the same thing Gemara says, if you have a tanegelus, I made this lachilo on Erev Yontiv, and it's labeled as a dvar meichel, and it lays an egg on Yontiv, so that's like an oichel shenifred meyochel. That's like slicing off a piece of bread from the whole challah. That's not considered muktzah, and that's not the case where there's a machlekes b'sham rishul. Beitish and all the beyontes, they still look, say, loy sayoch, you're not allowed to eat it. It's only the case when it's a tanik, Rav Nachman claims. We don't paskal like him. He's the first opinion. We'll get to the other. So Rav Nachman claims the machloikis is only lioilim tanigolas amedis legado beitzim. That the tanigolas does not have a shame rechel, because it's an egg farm and they plan to use the tanigolas as many times as possible to get eggs. So when it lays an egg, the egg is an oichel though. The egg is not a producer, the egg is not a machine, the egg is not a contraption. So the egg is a new oichel that never had any hachana b'bol yom. How could it have hachana? It didn't exist as a separate entity b'bol yom. Couldn't have any hachana. So what's the din if you have oichel on Shabbos or Yom Tov that never had any hachana b'bol yom? So that's the old machlokes, Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon. If you had the Pesach Dikah dishes and you had the ice cream in the freezer and you had the mukta sheyovesh, you had the dried out figs or dates or the fruits on the roof, that he didn't, the balabasta didn't realize that it's already royal achila on Arab Shabbos, and then in the middle of Shabbos they find out about it, so we paskin that's mukta. We paskin all these cases on mukta. There's no problem on mukta. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman says that's exactly the machlokes. B'shami b'silul argue in the same machlokes Rav Yehuda Rav Shimon. It's not that Rav Shimon leislei muktzah at all and Rav Yehuda eislei muktzah. No, they all agree there are laws of muktzah. Everybody agrees that Eitzim Avonim Yofor is muktzah. And everybody agrees that there's another din of Klisha Malachta Liyisa, the hammer with the screwdriver. Everybody agrees to all that. They argue one little prat by Oichlim and by Kalim. If it's not Oichel, it's not a Kli, then it's muktzah. But if it is an Oichel and it isn't a Kli, does that mean automatically that it's not muktzah? No. In Oichel and Kalim, you have to have Hachana. And if it didn't have Hachana Sabbailim, then it's going to be muktzah. So Rav Nachman says, that's exactly the Machloikis Satanai. We don't paskin like him. We don't paskin like Rav Nachman. The Gemara says, we're going to paskin like Rabbi. We don't paskin like Rav Nachman because...
It's no different between the two, right?
Because the Gemara says over here, let's start off the first tikkun of Gemara. Frek the Gemara, b'maya sinan, what kind of a hen are we talking about? is the hen on that is the gadol beitzim, it's an egg form, or is the hen on that is lachila, he has one little hen, he may or may not decide to shechet. So the Gemara wants to know what kind of a hen. If he should say it's time to go to Samed, it's la'achila. If it's time to la'achila, so the hen has a shem aichel. And the egg that comes out has a shem aichel. So it's like taking a challah and slicing off a piece. So that can't be muktzah. Frag the Gemara, my time I eat the beisilo. Why should you say that? Why did beisilo say you're not allowed to eat the beitzah? Says the uchlo the yifras. So it was just aichel that was separated. Yifras means it's separated from a bigger aichel. The big aichel was the hen. And this little eichel is the egg, so the egg, the egg is parv and the hen is fleshing, it doesn't matter, it's still an eichel separated from another eichel, why should it be muktzah? Elam was mazog in the stomach of the case is tanagel is hamedes legadol beitzim, it's an egg form. So the Gemara doesn't understand how can any tana say that it's not muktzah, it should be noilad. It should be noilad. Maita maida beishamai muktzah, isn't it muktzah? There never was. You can't have any hachonas habayla because it didn't exist. You can't have hachonas on a thing that was loy boli yoyla. The egg wasn't born yet on Eriam, so you can't have hachonas. So the Gemara says, well, what's the problem? Rav Nachman holds that that's the pshat. The Machlokes says, but he holds a mukti, you don't hold a mukti. It doesn't exist, but it doesn't exist as a separate entity. It doesn't exist as a separate entity, so you can't have hachonas habayla. On the base, it's still inside the inside the tiny girl. So you can't have a chana. So the Gemara says, "My kushya, what's shver? Yes, akasha. How can Beis Shammai not hold that it should be muktzah? Maybe they don't hold from the holding that muktzah needs a chana sabat. Right now, after the egg is born, after the hen lays the egg, it is eichel. So now it's eichel. The only problem is it never had a chana mibol yom. So maybe they." Shammai hold like Reb Shimon that Eichelim and Kalim don't need Hachana. So what's the problem for the Gemara? My Kusha, what's so Peladik? Maybe Dilma Bishamai lays a little Muktzah, as Rav Nachman is going to say. Rav Nachman says this is exactly the Machlekes. Be Shammai hold that there's no Dina Muktzah, meaning that Eichelim and Kalim don't need Hachana. They still hold you do. So the Gemara says no. They thought originally that Rav Nachman's svar is 100% wrong. And the truth of the matter is that's how we pass, and he's wrong because Kasalka Daitin, we thought Afilu Man the Shari be Muktze, even Reb Shimon who says the ice cream in the freezer is not Muktze, and the pace of the dishes are not Muktze, but Benoilad Osa. The Gemara said this kind of a Muktze, this kind of a Noilad, everybody should agree that it's Osa. So Taisus says that the truth of the matter is that that's how we pass. We pass from Allah like this line against Reb Nachman. How do they know? So Taisus formulates a term. There are two kinds of noilad. There's noilad and there's noilad gomur. When something is noilad gomur, then everybody agrees that it's muktzah. So they explain slowly what it is. They say like this: there is a Gemara Shabbos daf chavtes. So far, what are the cases with this machlekes Reb Yudah Reb Shimon? So the Gemara had chitim la'oitzar. That's a Gemara Shabbos in the first parak. Chitim la'oitzar. Or tamri leisko, you have sacks of grains stacked away in a granary, and it doesn't look like you're going to use it in the middle of Shabbat. And then all of a sudden, middle of Shabbat, all of a sudden it changes, and nobody wants to use it. So there's an umder in the muchach that there was no hachanas habaylim. So Rabbi Yudah says it's muktzah, and Rabbi Shimon says that it's not muktzah. Or you have chitim tamri leisko, he has a store next to the house. And these things are Aymed L'Schoyre than Aymed L'Achila. Find all those cases. So that's one Machlek is Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah. Then the Gemara says, L'shita Sam, the same Machlek of Reb Shimon applies in the following case. I have a chair like this. Middle of Shabbos, the chair breaks a little bit. So if the chair falls apart and it's absolutely useless and I'm going to have to throw it in the garbage, then it's muktzah. Garbage, piece of junk, it's garbage, it's muktzah. Let's say I have an egg, so it's Michael. I open up the egg and I eat it, and I'm left with the eggshell. So the eggshell is muktzah. It becomes muktzah in the middle of Shabbos. I had a bottle, and the bottle smashes in the middle of Shabbos. At the beginning of Shabbos, it was not muktzah. Once it smashes, and it's tiny little particles of glass, so then it's muktzah. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to take the particles of muktzah away, because if you're afraid that the kids are going to get hurt, if there's a hashash, doesn't have to be sakon. If there's a hashash hezik or rabim, if you're afraid people will get injured, so then there's a het to tilt the muktzah. But basically, if not for the hashash, I'm going to get hurt. The broken glass would be muktzah because a piece of junk. Well, what happens if the chair mashes in such a way? The chair normally is for sitting by the table, the adults can sit neat. And now after the feet, the legs broke, so now the children can sit on it. It has no legs. So the adults have longer legs, so they can't sit. It's so uncomfortable, they're not going to sit. And the baby, the little baby can sit out of town. So it doesn't have the exact same hishtamshes. Sometimes the chair breaks a little bit, so it doesn't have the hands. So the hands fell off, so I still use it as a chair. So that's not a machloikis. That's the same hishtamshes as it has before. But what happens if the chair broke and now adults can't sit on it, but children can sit on it? So that's also the same hishtamshes. It used to be a chair, now it's also a chair. That's not a machloikis satanaim, that's not going to be muktzeh. But what happens if originally it was a chair and now it can't be used as a chair anymore, you can use it as a stool. You can put your newspaper on, you can put your feet on it as a place to rest your feet. But you can't use it as a chair. So the Gemara says, that's a machlekes Rabbi Yehuda Reb Shimon, whether it's muktzeh or not. It's lishitosim. How is it lishitosim? The Rabbi Yehuda who says that the ice cream in the freezer is muktzeh, because you need achanas habaylim, so he would say this is muktzeh. Why? Because this, at the beginning of Shabbos, it was one kli. It was a chair. In the middle of Shabbos, it converted to become a different kli. So that new kli never had hachanas abaylim on Erev Shabbos. So panim chadoshes bo'olakan never had hachana. Right, like the ice cream in the freezer?
Yeah.
Like the Pesach digger dishes also. But there never was hachanas abaylim on Erev Shabbos to use the chair as a stool. It's a different... If originally in Erev Shabbos, you're going to use it for adults to sit, and not in the middle of Shabbos, use it for children to sit on it. A chair is a chair. A chair is the same kli. That's not called a panim chadoshes. But if it's nishtane gemar, the whole nishtamshes of the chair, then it's called shivrei kelim. There are different kinds of shivrei kelim. Sometimes the chair falls apart and it's absolutely broken. So that everybody's masking shivrei kelim is mukta mamish. Like a jar, a bottle that smashes, so it's about a mukta. But if the shivrei kelim, which is oisin ein melacha, the ein oisin ein melachtim harishona, it doesn't retain its original ishtamshus, but it has a new ishtamshus. So the Gemara says that's the same machlekes of Yehuda Reb Shimon. The Reb Yehuda says you need achanas habaylim, so it's lacking. It only had a hachana for the first ishtamshus.
Yeah,
it's a new kli. And Reb Shimon says you don't need achanas habaylim, so there's no problem. But so the Gemara calls that noilad. The Gemara calls that kli A converted to become kli B. The Gemara calls that noilad. It's a davish in ishtana. Or the Gemara has another example. Takan is daf. The Gemara quotes from a Mishnah in Shabbos about 8 lines from the bottom. People are sitting and eating the chicken on Shabbos, or the pulk, or the fligal, or the fredel, or whatever. It was Michael Adam. When you start out, it's Michael Adam. When you finish, some people leave all this so much that it's still Michael Adam. It's still Michael Adam, but we're going to throw it out anyway. But basically, it was Michael Adam before, it's still Michael Adam now. So then that's not muktzeh, just because they gave him such a big steak and he only ate one third of it. He leaves over two thirds, you throw it out in the garbage. That's still Michael Adam, so that's not muktzeh. What if he ate up the whole steak and all that's left are the bones? He ate up the whole chicken. The only thing that's left is the bones, not Michael Adam, but it's Michael Behemoth. Now, Michael Behemoth is not Mekabel Tumah. When we say there are four things that are Mekabel Tumah, other Mekabel Mochum and Mashkin, Michael Behemoth is not Mekabel Tumah. Here there's another discrepancy. It's not 100% that the Hilchas Tumah, the Hilchas Muktzeh, are patterned 100% after the Hilchas Kabbalah Tumah. In Hilchas Kabbalah Tumah, Michael Behemoth is not a Michael and it's not Mekabel Tumah. But for Muktzeh purposes, people do, farmers have to give Michael to the Behemoth. So if the Chachamim are going to say that Michael Behemoth, since it's not in the Kabbal Tumah, is not labeled as Michael, and therefore you're not allowed to handle it on Shabbos, how's the guy going to feed the horses? How's he going to feed? So Hilchos Shabbos is only for non-farmers. They make life impossible. So here they made a slight shinoi. They said, despite the fact that the Hilchos, like we said before, the live chicken for Kabbalah Tumah purposes is not called an Eichel. It's not a Kabbalah Tumah while it's alive. But for Yontif purposes, the live chicken is called an Eichel if it's Tanigol, it's Ameres Lachim. So the same here, it's not 100% Hashvor that the Michael Behema for Kabbalah Tumah purposes is not the Kabbalah Tumah, it's not called Eichel. But for Mukta purposes, it is called Michael, and therefore it's not considered Mukta. Fine. So Michael Odin is not mukta, Michael Bain is not mukta. But what about this shayla? At the beginning of Shabbos, I had a pot full of chicken, which is Michael Odin. Middle of Shabbos, nobody leaves over. Everybody eats the chicken, the flesh, and all that's left over, the bones, which are Michael Bain. So if I would have had bones in the beginning of Shabbos, which is Michael Bain, Michael Bain is not mukta. I have mom's dog biscuits. I have bones that I feed the dogs. Michael Behem is not mukta. But this is a different twist. At the beginning of Shabbos, it started off as Michael Odom. In the middle of Shabbos, it switched from a Michael Odom to a Michael Behem. That's like the chair that broke and is no longer useful as a chair at all. Even the little children can see now. You can only use it as a footstool. So that's a noilad. Kli A converted to become Kli B. So here, Michael A converted to become Michael B. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says here, right on our daf, on Shabbos, when you finished eating all the chicken, you left with the bones. Are you permitted to pick up the bones and throw them in the garbage? The bones are Michael Beima. So Michael Beima shouldn't be mukta. But the Shabbos, but at the beginning of Shabbos, it wasn't Michael Beima. Beginning of Shabbos, it started off as Michael Odom. In the middle of Shabbos, it converted to become Michael Beima. So that's the machlokes, Reb Shimon and Reb Yudah.
Inside the chicken,
Michael Arthur
was inside the
ship all along.
All along.
Right. 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 Right.
Right.
Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. Right. So they label the whole chicken as Michael Odom, even though parts of it are not at all Michael Odom. They label whole chicken at the beginning as Michael Odom, then in the middle of Shabbos we say now converted to become Michael Behem.
Isn't there a difference in that? I mean, if this happens every week, so it's not a new
no surprise.
It's unexpected. It's not surprised.
Right. Okay.
He usually gives it to the animal.
We know every week the same pismet happens. That's a long discussion in the Rishonim over here. The Ran has a long, okay, it's a problem. It's a problem. How do you deal with other Gemaras? How do you deal with other Gemaras? But our Gemara says you ignore that. Even though we know what to expect, no surprises, still, we say that that's called the Michael Odom, Shinishtana Mias Michael Behema. So like a Kli A converted to become Kli B in the middle of Shabbos by smashing, unexpected, or even yes expected, Oichel A converted to become Oichel B, because I ate up all of my Chalodim, and now the only thing that's left is the bones. So if you hold like Rav Shimon, that there's no need for Hachanas HaBailim, so it was Michael from the beginning to the end, it was a Kli from the beginning to the end, so you don't need Hachanas, so there's no problem. If you hold like Rav Yudi, need Hachanas, so the Hachanas HaBailim was only on the first Oichel, it was only on the first Kli. In the middle of Shabbos, it became the second thing. The Hakana has to be Mebod Yom. You can't have a Hakana on the Dovish Lobol Yom. It only converted to become the Michael B or the Kli B. In the middle of Shabbos, they never had a Hakana. So that's what the Tanoim have the Machlokes in Masechah Shabbos. That's the Mishnah. That 8 lines from the bottom of Beis Amud Aleph, the first Tana holds, Magbim Yal HaShulchan Atzomus HaKlipim. You're permitted to pick up from the table the bones that are left because they're Michael Behemoth. If you have, let's say, you ate an egg and you left the shell is mamish mukta. Let's say, you had a banana and you left the banana peel. So if you have behemoths around the house who enjoy eating banana peels, so it'll be in the machlegen. But if, maybe elephants, I don't know, who eats banana peels? But if you don't live near the zoo and you don't have any animals who eat banana peels, it's outside garbage. So then the banana peel and the eggshell will be mukta. No machlegis on that, it will be mukta. When is there a machlokes? Tesis explains like that. When is there a machlokes? Whether magbim el shulchan atzamas eklipin, are you allowed to pick up the peel and the shell? If the shell is a Michael Behema, we know it's a Michael Behema. We have dogs, cats, we have animals on the farm. We know we can feed this to the animals. So it started off in the beginning of Shabbos as Michael Odom. In the middle of Shabbos, it converts to become Michael Behema. So the Tanakh says that it's not mukta, there's no problem. Tanakam is like Reb Shimon. And Basila Noimir, Mesalakas Hatav Lekulo Minar. Basila say, no, it is mukta. So you're not allowed to pick up the bones. So you're stuck. You have to leave the house full of all the, you have to leave all the mukta on the table. So they say, no, you're permitted to take the whole plate. Don't pick up the bones. take the whole plate and take it to the garbage and tilt it and let the garbage fall off like this. You're not allowed to take the plate with the bones on it and push the bones off with your fork or your knife. We're going to have to learn barichas, these dinim. You're not allowed to push it off with your hand. You're not allowed to pick it up with your hand. You're not allowed to push it off. You have to take the plate and tilt it and have it fall off. Because... Oh, so that's Taisus Kasha. That's a very good Kasha. Taisus and the Rishonim discuss. We're going to have to discuss that also. That's Taka, a good question.
What happens if you designate for Shabbos that the bones are allotted to the
Hebrew? Yeah, right. We know in advance. We know every Shabbos. No surprise. That's where no surprises here. So nonetheless, our Gemara ignores that. The Gemara says that you can't have a hachana on the Dovish Lo Boli Yoyim. On Erev Shabbos, we label the whole thing as Michael Adam. Even though we don't advance the bones inside are Michael Behem, it's not Michael Adam. No, we said the whole chicken, Bechlalusa, is labeled as Michael Adam. When you finish eating the flesh of the chicken, then I say now, unless he leaves over some chicken that's still Roy Lachivas Adam, but he doesn't want to eat it. But if it doesn't leave anything over, so then now it's a Michael Adam, Shinishtan Elias, Michael Behem. And that will be a Machlekes Reb Yudah Reb Shimon. That will be the Machlekes Rabbi Reb Shimon that the Gemara calls Noilat. It's a new clear, it's a new Orchel. So Taisus says, although it's a Machlekes Rabbi Reb Shimon whether Noilat constitutes Mukta or not, but if you have what we would call, Taisus coins a term, Noilat Gomur, something is absolutely Noilat Gomur. It's not Kliye converted to become Kli. It's not Orchel converted to become Kli. Something came from Yeshmeyayim. Something came Yeshmeyayim. The mon came down from that. Something came Yeshmeyayim. So that's a Gemara and Erev, and that everybody agrees is Mukta. Why? Because Taisus quotes a Gemara and Erev in Daf Mem Hey. If you see in the Taisus, the second wide line in the Taisus, Kosal Kadaitin. The Taisus quotes Erev in Daf Mem Hey. So the Gemara discusses like this: if it rains in the middle of Shabbos at Yom Tov, so the Gemara says you can use the rainwater. If you have a pot outside and you catch the rainwater, so you're allowed to use the rainwater. So the Gemara has a discussion, how can you use the rainwater, but the clouds were floating from Chutz L'Tchum? So isn't it a problem? The water came in Chutz L'Tchum. This water was miles away, it came over here. So the Gemara answers, no problem. The only time there's a din of Tchumen is if the thing is Oichel, Mashkeh, Psazach, Epsazach. So the Gemara says, Maya, the evil, the water that's in the clouds, Mivla believe, and we treat it like a gas, and a gas is no din of chum. It's thin air. So there's no din of chutz l'tchum. So the Gemara says, oh no, if you're going to label it as a gas, Maya, the evil, the water in the clouds, is Mivla believe, it's balua, and it's in a gas estate, and we don't say that it's kind of shvisa over there and it's now chutz l'tchum because it floated miles away. The Gemara says that's going to be bad for the Jews. Then you're going to have such a big problem. You're going to have a problem on mukta. There's going to be noilat gomur that everybody will agree that that's going to be considered mukta. So that's what Taisa says. Uparech, frag the Gemara. The Gemara answers, maya b'ivam, ivlabli. That answers the question why it's not an issue when it rains on Shabbos Yom, why it's not an issue of drinking water that came chutz l'tchum. So the Gemara says, no, you just made it worse. Uparech, the Gemara, kosh came to having noilat, the osur, you just made it into noilat. So Taisa says, but what's the problem? Well, we hold that noilat is mutter. Machlegs of Yudah Reb Shimon, we pass like Reb Shimon, that mukta is mutter, noilat is mutter. So Taisa says, apparently this is called noilat gomur, that everybody agrees that this poses a problem. So Taisus says, "My part Dilma here at Kreb Shimon." Elavadai Taisus writes on the last line in that Taisus. Elavadai, how in the time of Kiddush Priests that what? The cave and the blee. If one should assume that premise, we don't pass them like that. But if we would have accepted that suggestion that the Gemara gave, we pass them that the water that comes down on Shabbos is not muktzah. But the Gemara is debating it in the middle. So the Gemara says, "Elavadai, how in the time of Kiddush Priests the pshat is the cave and the blee." If one would have accepted that position in the Gemara, that the water when it's in the clouds is balua and we treat it like a gas, so lahoyu boilam lahoyu klal boilam, you treat it as if it's a non-existing item. Yes, we don't treat it as an object. I feel it b'shimimayir because it's no la gomer. Everybody agrees. So that's what Taisus explains. This is how we pass it like this, Taisus. So Taisus explains that that's what the Gemara says. We don't accept Rav Nachman's interpretation. Therefore, pshatim, why does Hillel hold that the hen that lays the egg on Yom Tov, the egg is may not be eaten. You're not allowed to eat it. So the first explanation is Rav Nachman, that it's a question of muktzah. We don't pass them like Rav Nachman. We don't pass them like Rav Nachman. Because if you, the only time it's going to be an issue of muktzah if it's a tiny girl or a medes legadol beitzim. If it's going to be a tiny girl or a medes lachilo, so the tiny girl is labeled as oichel, and the beitzim that comes out is a oichel shenifred mei oichel. That's like slicing challah. So the slice is muktzah. No, this came out of a big meichel. A little meichel came out from a big meichel is not muktzah. It's not like oichel leish and ishtana liyos oichel b or kliyei. The slice of challah is not considered a Michael B. No, it's a hemshech of the same Michael. Michael Adam Shemeshtan Aliyah Michael Behemer, that's called Neulah. That's Uchalei converted to become Uchal B. But Uchle the Ifraz, I just slice off a piece of challah, have the big hen lays an egg, and the hen was Michael, and the egg is Michael, even though this is part of it, that's fleshy. That's Uchle different. That's not Uchalei Shemeshtan Aliyah Uchal B. So the Gemara says, within Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman holds, if it would have been a Tanagolus HaMedes La'achila, there would not be a dispute. Everyone would agree that is Mutter. But that's what we don't pass from like that. We're not going to pass from like Rav Nachman. And when is there a Machlokes? Rav Nachman claims the Machlokes only is El Elioilam Tanagolus HaMedes L'gadol Beitzim. So the Tanagolus is not labeled as a Michael. It's a machine. And the word Beitza is born in the middle of Yontif, it's like a nuzach. It's not Oichalei Sheneshtanali Yisoichal B. It's a machine, Sheneshtanali Yisoichal. It's like a Kli Sheneshtanali Yisoichal. A Kli Sheneshtanali Yisoichal, we don't pass him like Rav Nachman, that's totally a Machleg Zab Shimon Rav Yudah. We hold that that's Noilag Goma. When is there a Machleg Zab Yudah Rav Shimon? It's Oichalei Sheneshtanali Yisoichal B. Or Kliyei Sheneshtanali Yiskli B. But if it's a nothing, and all in the beginning of Shabbos, it wasn't Teuchel, it wasn't Kli. It was a Tanagolus. Hamedes Legadol Beitzim. In the middle of Shabbos, all of a sudden it became an Teuchel. So then we would paskin Teisus. So the Gemara says, the reason why they didn't want to say, like Rav Nachman, because Kasal Kedait, now Tvi Leman, the Shari, the Muktzah, even if you're Muktzah's Mutter, but Benoilet, everybody agrees it's also. I, but Benoilet is Dech the Machlekes, Reb Shimon and Reb Yudit. So the answer is no, this is Dech HaNoilet Gomor. This is not a plain Noilet, like Michael Eish and Ishtanali is Michael B. This is a Noilet Gomor. So the Noilet Gomor, Teisus says, Halach HaLamayseh, we pass him that it is Muktzah. So the Rishonim give you additional examples of Noilet Gomor. So we say, for example, let's say on Yontif, flour is not mukta. So you can take flour and mix water and bake matzahs, bake challahs. You can do other rabbis. They say it's preferable to bake your challahs on Yontif than to eat stale challahs that were baked before Yontif. If you're Balabasta, so inclined to bake challahs on Yontif. And if you mix the dough on Yontif, then you're allowed to be mafish challah. If this dough is needed on Erev Yontif, then the Mishnah says you're not allowed to be mafish challah on Shabbos Yontif. But if you mix the flour on Yontif and it became terrible on Yontif, then the dinners you're permitted to be mafish challah. So the Rishonim say, let's say I know there's a Nochri in the neighborhood who took grain on Yontif and he grinds it up in the mill and he makes it into flour on Yontif. I didn't ask him, he did on his own. And then he comes and he gives me some of this. So the grain in the beginning of Yontif was not mukta. I can cook a Michael with grain also, chita. And flour is not mukta. So the Rabbeinu Peretz on this daf says, when he quotes this Tosfos, the Noilat Gomer, so he gives you this as an example. He says, if the Nochri took, a Jew is not allowed to do tchina on Yontif, so a Jew didn't do it. But if a Nochri is going to take grain and he's going to grind it up to make it into flour, he says this is such a major shinui. The Gemara says in Bava Kama that if a ganef steals chitim basan solus and he grinds it and he makes flour out of it, that's called a shinui. The shinui is kaina. The ganef is kind of a shinui. So the Rabbeinu Peretz holds that the Nochri took it. It's such a major shinui that Panim Chadosh is Bava Kama. He considers that a Noilat Gomer. More so than the chair that broke and became a stool, or the Michael Adam converted to become a Michael Bain. He considers this more of a shin. This is such a Panam Chadoshis. He holds that's an Oilat Gomer, and everybody would agree that it's Muktzah. That's why some argue that a newspaper that's printed on Shabbos and Yom Tov should be an Oilat Gomer. Because before they print the newspaper, you have a big bottle of ink, And then you have a big roll of paper. You look in the factory. I remember they used to, they take children to see the way they print the newspaper. And then after it goes through the whole process, all of a sudden, the whole newspaper, it prints and they fold it over in a ganz meister. It's in ganz in Panam Chadosh. I think it's a, maybe it's even a bigger difference between the original raw material and the newspaper, the final product, than there is between the original chit and the flour. The flour is not such a secret. You look at it, you see. And this is really very, very different. So that's why many hold that a newspaper that's printed on Shabbos Yom Tov is mamish muktzah. It's muktzah neilad gomer, afila alivir Reb Shimon, based on the way we pass it like this thesis. That whatever is neilad gomer, everybody would agree is muktzah.
According to the mayor, he holds what the makan dosh legolo is. So why should you say this is a neilad gomer? For chicken usually lays eggs, so it's just like the peres tekel. According to a mayor, it should be
the mayor doesn't say that a dovish labol yoylam exists. He just says, let's say I'm a kaddish in isha lach alamid yom. We're busy now, we're all going to college, and I say I want to marry you June 10th. So I give her the ring now, I say I read Mekudesh yesterday June 10th. So the Mishnah says that that's good. You can, I want to buy the house. I want to buy the house, but you're still living in the house. You're going to move out in May. So I say I want the kinyan to take effect June 1st. So that's not a dovish labal yom. Everybody knows you can sell a kinyan lach alamid. So the mayor says you can even, I fall in love with an Ashish Ish, but she's still married. So the husband, they're in the middle of the negotiating about the divorce. By June 1st, she's going to, it's all going to be all over. So I give her a ring now, I say, Hariyah Mekudeshensli as of June 1st. So Ramey says to Vosishla, so I do a Kiddush and Lach HaLamin Yom Vosishla. So we Paskin know that that kind of Lach HaLamin is no good. But Ramey never said that a Dovish Lo Bali Oilam is Bol Oilam. He just said you can make a Kinyan Lach HaLamin. The mayor is also asking, he can't be miyachid, he can't make a hachana on a dovish labaliyot. Okay, next week we'll have to continue a little bit. In this week's parsha, it says in the Torah the way Noach first sent out the orev to see whether the mabul was over, and the orev just went out and it came back, nothing, no change at all. And then later, he sent the yoina, he sent the dove, and then it came back, he sent it a second time, came back, and then the third time, he waited another 7 days, and the yoina didn't come back. So the Medrash says that Vayochel lo shirat yamim acherim, he waited 7 days, it was Shabbos, and that's when yoina matzah by manach, that's the nearest that we say, that the yoina rested, the yoina went because it says he waited 7 days. Could be sent on a Wednesday and the next Wednesday. So the Medrash says, no, he waited 7 days, means that it was Shabbos. So we have a carryover from that story in the Chumash, in our Zmiris, that we say about Yoina Matzah Bamanach. Do we have any carryover from the fact that he sent out the raven? We don't have anything. So the quote in the name of Rav Chaim is Taka Gemara in Beitza later. Gemara in Beitza and some other places. The Gemara has a Loshon, the Yestan Amoira. What does he say about a certain din? So he didn't want to answer because he didn't feel well. He was tired. Here, I call Fala from an olive, around 10 lines from the top. So he says, Urva Pora, a raven is flying. What's that?
Yeah,
a raven is flying. It's Rashi, Kretches of Shah. So they say over the name of Rab Chaim that it's a biblical allusion. That just like when Noach sent out the Orev, absolutely no toelis came out of it. The Orev came back to garnish and garnish. So that's what he says. I have nothing, you're not going to get anything out of me. I have no comment on this at all. So he claims we have a carryover from that place.